Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running with Beginner Runner Village podcast number 30, picking which 5K race to enter. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you either haven't ever done a 5K or you haven't done very many. So today, I thought I'd share with you some of the things to take into consideration when you pick a race. I'll talk about race size, how to know if it's a real race, race courses, timing, race shirts, time of day, finisher's medals, reputation, nonprofits, and more. Before we get to that, I want to explain something I probably haven't explained. As I'm sure you all know, this podcast, all podcasts, are free. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can, just like public TV. You can go to my mojoforrunning.com website, and there you'll see a picture of a cup of coffee on the right-hand side of the page. If you click that, it'll take you to a page where you can make a $5 contribution. I call that the coffee level. Or a $12 contribution. I call that the wine and chocolate level. Or a $25 contribution, that's the dinner level, or the $50 date night level. These are all one-time donations, not something that will be continually deducted from your credit card. It's just one time. I've got some people who donate every month, and I am super, super appreciative of that. If you enjoy this podcast, that would be really, really great for you to help me out in that way. Now let's talk about races. At this time in your running career, you'll probably be happiest with a medium-sized 5K race, one with, say, 300 to 400 people. 500 would be okay, too. For a half or a full, that would still be considered very small, but not for a 5K. If the race is too small, say, under 300, there just aren't enough people to produce the energy level to give you a real taste of racing, and I really hope you'll have that. Also, if it's a smaller race, it doesn't produce much revenue, and that means it may fall short on amenities, finisher's medals, for example. And most people like to do the same race in successive years, the same race, the same location, the same course, so they can compare their time from year to year. But with a small race that maybe doesn't bring in very much income or very much profit, there's always the possibility that it won't ever happen again. Key here is to check out the reputation of a race and the race director. If that's good, then go for it. But if it's a first-time race director or a first-time race, I would say you should look for another. Now, I mentioned finisher's medals. Let's stop now and talk about that. Many first-time racers look for races that give finisher's medals. It's a nice souvenir of that first race. You really want that around your neck. Most 5Ks, though, don't give finisher's medals, while virtually every half marathon does. So I suggest you look for one that does give a finisher's medal. You can find them. By that, I mean a medal for each finisher, but you'll have to do a bit of investigating to make sure you find which races give those medals. If you don't know if a race gives finisher's medals, check ads for the race and the race website. If they're giving away finisher's medals, they'll probably say so. If you can't find a website for a particular race, check for a Facebook page. If the race doesn't have either, then move on and find another race. After all, it only takes 10 minutes to create a Facebook page. I feel like if the race director won't do that, then the rest of the race might not be too impressive either. It might be too small and too low-key, if nothing else. Anyway, if you check the website and Facebook page, the registration page, and the flyers, and it doesn't say they're giving out finisher's medals, then most likely they're not. Another consideration is reputation, as I previously mentioned. This is really important. Ask around in the running community, or if you don't know many runners yet, ask at the local running stores for recommendations of good 5Ks for beginners. I never recommend a first-year race to newer runners. You want a race that has a track record for being well-run, on-time, organized, and with an accurate course, professional timing, and good amenities. If it's an established race, then you can probably count on the race course being accurate. This matters because you'll want this first 5K to be representative of your first time running a 5K. You're going to want to know what your time is. Let's say this is your first 5K and you do it in, let's say, 38 minutes. And you assume It's an accurate 5K, meaning it's 3.1 miles, as advertised. But the next time you do a 5K, a different 5K, let's say it's 3 months later, you've been training all that time and you assume you're going to be faster. You certainly expect to run a faster time, but this time your finishing time is 39 minutes. You'll likely be disappointed, but it could be that the reason turns out to be that the first race course was only 2.9 miles instead of 3.1, which is a 5K. Even 1/10 of a mile at that pace is well over a minute, so you see how it could matter. A couple of times, I've been at a race that was short, and everybody finished beaming, 95% of the runners finishing with PRs. But I know the race was short because my watch told me that. Besides, 95% of the people in any race do not PR. In such cases, I'm happy that everybody's happy, but I'm sad too, because I know they'll be disappointed next time when it's really 3.1 miles. By the way, PR is runner lingo for personal record. Some people also call it PB, but pretty much PB would be personal best, but most people call it PR. Professional timing companies are more important than you might think. In the early days of my club, we did a race one time that had not wanted to spend the money to hire a timing company. They had borrowed a clock, but they didn't know how to operate it properly. They did have some timing mechanism that worked, but they hadn't hired a professional timing company. That was a problem. Because here's what happened. There was a clock on a stand at the finish line, but it didn't work, or they didn't know how to work it. So the problem was runners would come around the corner, and I wasn't racing. I was there cheering and supporting my runners. So I was standing close to the finish line. The runners would run around the corner, excited, finishing their 5K, anxious to see their time. They would look towards the finish line, and their faces would just fall when they saw that there was no time on the clock. The race people were recording the time, and there were times posted, thank goodness. But the problem was these people, for a short time, thought that the race had not actually been timed because there was no time showing on the clock. That was really, really unfortunate. So I say always make sure any race is professionally timed, if that matters to you. You need to know ahead of time, though. Some newer runners won't care one way or the other, which is fine. But some very much want to get an official time, and they want to see it listed in the online results. Just realize that without a professional timing company, there might be no official time, or it might never get published anywhere. Now, some races are advertised as fun runs. That's a whole different animal. A fun run is just that. It usually raises money for a charity, and that's the main reason for the event. Always look for the words fun run in the race announcements. These are a lot of fun, great for the family, and certainly more low-key and more casual. This may be something that you prefer for your first event. It can be like a practice for the real thing, a practice for your first real 5K. Just keep in mind the difference between a fun run and a race. I don't want you to think you're registering for a serious race and be surprised when there's no timing system and no clock. Although the fun run moniker doesn't necessarily mean there won't be a clock. Also, the distance may not be the standard 5K. Check with the organizers to find out the details of the particular event. If it's not a fun run, then check to make sure it will be professionally timed. Once in a while, I've talked to race directors who said they're not hiring a timing company. Sometimes they say it's because they're a nonprofit and they don't have much money to put into the race. Well, that's all well and good, except two things. They need to then advertise it as a fun run instead, because if they don't, runners will expect professional timing. And two, if there's no professional timing, the race entry fee should be less. Sometimes there are no awards either, which is fine as well, as long as you're not expecting them. And most first-timers aren't looking for awards anyway. Another benefit of a fun run is certainly going to have people, is that it is so certainly going to have more people doing a walk run, which may make you feel more at ease. So you may want to consider a fun run, but make sure you know what the distance will be. Now, you may be wondering about doing one of the themed runs. In some of them, there are races like where they spray color at you when you're running, or there are some that use inflatables, and there are some where zombies chase you, and there are some where you're encouraged to wear costumes. There are all kinds of creative new types of themed runs out there. If you're interested in doing one of these, I just recommend a couple of things. One, check out the company, because some of these themed runs have gotten a reputation for never happening, which is very unfortunate because most of the companies are probably on the up and up and put on fun events, which I believe draw new people into the running community and provide a fun experience for new runners and for families. Just make sure you check out the company first, because the thing is, there a lot of times it's a national company or a company that's coming into your neighborhood to put on a race. So sometimes it's a little bit harder to find out about them, about that particular race. I know in my community, there have been a few that were scheduled where people paid their money and registered, and then in the last minute, the race never happened. So just check it out ahead of time and make sure that it's a good company, somebody who has a good reputation. The other thing I would worry about is safety. Again, just make sure you check it out well first. A note here about obstacle runs. These are another form of themed runs. There are some very large, reputable companies, but my concern here is that it's easy to become injured. Just make sure you know what to expect and make sure you're properly trained if you want to do one of these races. They are certainly harder on your body than a 5K road race would be. Here are some other considerations for 5K races. Race shirts. As far as I know, every race provides race shirts. Certainly they should. If I were you, I would definitely make sure you get a shirt made of a technical fabric, or that's one thing I'd check on. I would want to find out what kind of a race shirt am I going to get. Every race can afford these nowadays, and hopefully you'll get a gender-specific shirt. Again, this is something that's easy to do nowadays. They're inexpensive, and because 95% of participants will register online, the race director knows exactly how many of each size are needed. However, you'll have to register well ahead of time to be guaranteed the right size shirt. Some races will provide much better post-race food than others. Anymore, bagels and bananas is not good enough because many races provide a much better spread after the race, and that just raises the bar for all the other 5K races. So that might be something you want to think about. Check out the race course as well. You'll likely want to do your first race to be on a relatively flat course. No reason to make it extra hard. As well, you want to be sure that there's not too much variance in the terrain. You might want to walk or bike the course the week before the race, too. This will add a certain level of comfort. Check out the time. Also, the time of day when the race will be put on. If the weather that day is likely to be warm, it'll be good if the race starts early. Another consideration, depending on your expected time, is to find out how long the course will be open. If they have to close down streets, they could close the course after, say, 40 minutes, which could be a problem for some first-timers. If you'll have family or friends there to support you on race day, you may want to be sure to choose a race that's fan-friendly. Most registration these days is done online, but most 5K races have race day registration as well, another thing that you might want to consider. However, that does usually cost more. I did a whole podcast a while back about strategy for your first race. That was episode 21. Which you will definitely want to check out before your first race. Now, that's pretty much it. You have the tools. Now go out there and register for that first race. If you're ready to take the plunge and become a runner, or if you've been running a little while and you think you might need some help, you know I've got the Mojo for Running coaching program. In that program, there's really two parts that are for beginner runners. There's the walk to run beginner program. That's 12 weeks. It takes you from sitting on the couch from not running at all to a half mile, just a half mile. So you can see that's for people that are really out of shape. It's extremely gradual by design. Then I have another program that's the first 5K program. I call them programs. It's really, you pay to be a member of the Mojo for Running coaching program, and then you can drop into whichever place you want to be, whether you're need to be in the beginning in the first 12 weeks, which is for walk to run, or the next 12 weeks, which is for training for your first 5K. You pay one price. You have access to everything. You look at the various weeks, and you start at the place that's appropriate for your current level of fitness and your how much you can actually run comfortably. And I help you pick what that place needs to be. It works really well. Right now we have about 95 people in that program. Everybody is in the same Facebook group. It's a private Facebook group just for people that are in the Mojo for Running coaching program. And it's just going very, very well. I do live videos several days a week. I respond to questions that people bring up that I see discussions on that wall, and I clarify and answer questions. I'm in that group off and on during the day checking to see if there are questions. The people there are wonderful with each other. It's a great community atmosphere, a camaraderie that it's not as good as if you had a group locally, but the people in that program are from all over the United States and even outside the United States. And it's really nice to see them bonding with each other and asking questions and enjoying going through this process and being on this journey together. So I just want to throw that out there. All you have to do if you want to find out about that program is go to mojoforrunning.com and click coaching programs in the menu bar at the top of that page and read all about it. Now, another thing that you could do that I would very much appreciate would be if you simply share information about this podcast with anybody you know. Tell the people on your Facebook, on your Facebook page about it, or tell your friends about it. Share it with whomever, because the more the word gets out, the more people will benefit from this podcast, and the more people will get on the road and be out there running and making their lives better, making their lives healthier, enjoying new adventures, and making new friends. So it's a pretty cool thing. So when you share it, you help other people to succeed in becoming a runner, and that's pretty great. If you're ready to run your first 5K, or if you already have, please check out my other podcast, Mojo for Running. There are 105 episodes. That was my original podcast. Some of that information may be too advanced, but much of it will still be very useful. And if you're hooked on running, I think you'll find it entertaining. Now for today's quote. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. Of course, that's Dr. Seuss. I'll be back soon.